first, second, and last verse. Truly wonderful to hear about those folks this morning who all they did was hear the Word of God read, and it excited them so that they cried, and then they heard 3 hours and went out and repented for 3 hours. Wow. That was a service, wasn't it? Need a few more of those. Okay, if we'd have our ushers come forward, we'll receive our offering. I'm sure that there'll be people come in at 6 o'clock. I was very plain, though, I thought. But sometimes when you think you're plain, you're not. Okay. We can remember those prayer requests that we had this morning. There were quite a few, actually. So let's remember that. Scott had another one here just a little while ago of a story. Yeah. John, would you bless this offering? Amen. a good old song. I remember when Les got that tape. He was just a young'un. He ain't much older than that now, is he, than a young'un? Okay, if you have your Bibles handy there and you'd like to turn and read, or you can read from the scriptures that'll be on the board. If you'll turn to Haggai, we've been in the Minor Prophets for quite a while now, and we've read some of the same things in each Minor Prophet because they all had the same problems. Sin was the big problem. Idolatry was a big problem. Today, the biggest problem that man has is if he's unsaved. We can go into other sins, but until you get the one corrected where you're either saved or lost, if you're lost, you need to be saved. Because there's going to be a big shakeup one of these days. The Lord's already said it. It's going to happen. He's going to shake this whole earth. But according to the scriptures, he's going to shake the heavens too. That's going to get some attention. It's a whole lot better if man gets his attention taken when he reads the Word of God, rather than wait until God does what he says he's going to do, because then it's too late. Now we have the grace of God. One day, the time for making a decision will be over. Haggai 2, 6 and 7. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea, the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth? And now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Power, the power of God. There you have it. Now, if we believe the Word of God, and we believe in this power of God, we have to believe that he's going to do exactly what he said. It's going to be eye-opening. It's going to be earth-shattering. It's going to be life-changing. It is. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless this scripture. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the book. Lord, may we want more and more to get into the book. We praise you for everything you've done and everything you're going to do. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a real good reason for a person to get to know the Lord and fall in love with him, take him as their Savior, because the only thing that stands between God, the wrath of God, and mankind is his Son. Jesus is the only thing that stands between what he just said here as the wrath of God and mankind. When Jesus leaves the right hand of God and makes his way to earth, it'll be all over. Because he's coming back. He's coming back. The only people who are going to be surprised and should be afraid are the unsaved. That's all. We should be looking for it. We should be yearning for it. We should be hungry for it. Especially the longer we live now and the day that we live in, folks, we should be really, really praying, Lord, how long? How long? When God's mercy is turned into wrath, folks, it's going to be a bad time. So let's ask a couple questions. What I really wanted to do was read more scripture than I commented on it. I will comment, but I want to read some scripture because that's what that was about this morning. I don't know if I made that plain or not. It was the reading of the Word of God. And how much power is in the reading of the Word of God? If you love this Word and you read this Word, it will shake your life. It will shake us to change some wrongs in our life, and it will also bring us closer to Him. It will change our life. All these requests we had this morning, and just for a thank you to God for this morning, and ask Him to guide our minds in this scripture tonight. Let's ask Him to do that, okay? Lord, we thank You for the service this morning. We thank You for the spirit that we felt. We thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do here tonight. We're going to read Your word. Word for word, we're going to read it. And Lord, I just pray that we hear the words. They're Yours. And they're powerful. They're sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, help us to hear them rightly. And we'll praise You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. When do you suppose, I know you don't have a date because there is no date that this is going to take place, but when will this great incident that we just talked about, when will it actually take place? Well, since we can't put a date on it, we can only say what's going to happen when it does take place. When Jesus returns to this earth, and we're all God's children, are looking for Him to do exactly that, He's going to bring judgment on that person that you know who's unsaved. And His judgment will be no less, no more than on anyone else. It's going to be the same. God's, He's not any, no particular person's going to be more or less for Him. It's going to all going to be the same. And here comes my family. Hi, Crystal. Hey, boys. We have Lee with us tonight, right? Lee, it's good to have you with us. We're talking about when the Lord comes back. When the Lord returns to this old earth, it's going to be different for different people. There are only two kinds of people in this earth. There are the saved and the lost. There is no in between. And you can't ride the fence. There is no fence to straddle in this game. You're either saved or you're lost. You've either repented of your sin and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you'll die lost and go to hell. That's it. There isn't anything else. The scriptures declare this. They declare the truth of his coming. I told you this morning that when the priest and the scribe preached, he, as a scribe, he knew the truth, because the truth is in the Word of God. As a priest, he had the grace of God on him, and he could bestow that grace onto other people by simply reading the Word of God, because the Word of God is God's grace on us. Every time he warns us that he's coming, that's his grace. He's given us a prior warning that it's going to happen, and it's going to happen exactly as he said. So it would behoove you, if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, that you look into that, because that could happen tonight. It may be tomorrow. It may be next week, next month, next year. I don't know, but I know that it's imminent. It could happen at any time. About this thing in Russia and Ukraine, they've been using the word imminent. Have you noticed that? They said the it's imminent. That means at any time they could go in and try to take over that country. Any time. Well, at any time, the Lord could come back as his second coming. Any time. That could be in the next 5 minutes. We simply don't know. But the Bible says in Revelation 1:7, and I want you to, if you have your Bibles, you can turn. If you don't, it'll be on the board up here. Okay, Revelation 1:7, if you're close to that, I'm turning to them myself, so I'll be about as slow as you are. Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. He didn't leave anybody out here. Every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, that killed him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. Now the amen just simply means so be it. That's how it's going to be. And if we understand that the scripture is the truth, and we understand that what he says there is, he's coming. We don't have to know when. We just believe that he's coming. Now, the text that I just read to you a few minutes ago in Haggai and Hebrews declare that there's been a shaking before this shaking here that I'm talking about now. There has been, and I'm going to take you into the scriptures and show you these. In fact, if you want to now, you can go ahead and turn in your Bibles. If you don't, it'll be up here. But turn in your Bibles to Exodus 19, 16 through 19. If you're there, say amen. Amen. I see some of you are looking at the board. Here you go. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trump exceeding loud, and that of all the people that was in the camp trembled. Now remember, don't just listen to this and read over it just like it's a bunch of words. It's not just a bunch of words. It's God's word telling us that there was a time when this exact thing happened. And in verse 17, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. That's what happened. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Now see, I told you, I'm not going to try to get you to see and understand this scripture. I want you to listen to the words, knowing that every word is the truth of God and that it's powerful. And as we read it word for word, make that word powerful. Now look at verse 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake. Moses was God's spokesman. Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Now, some people don't believe that God speaks to other people. God speaks to me. He speaks to me in a lot of different ways. He speaks to me quietly in my heart. Every time I read his word, he speaks to me. And I would say to you, if you don't know about whether God speaks to you by sound or not, don't worry about it. Just read the word, because he speaks to you that way. There are many ways in which he speaks to us. And if you look at Hebrews 12:21, we're going back there right where we were. In Hebrews 12:21, he says this, "And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." So Moses himself, when he heard what God had to say, it caused him to tremble. It caused him to shake. You see, God's not only going to shake the earth, he's going to shake everything in the earth. When he comes back to get his children, and for those who are not saved are going to be here left to the judgment of God, and I don't want to see any of my friends or my relatives go through the judgment of God. I don't. Because at the end of that judgment, whatever he brings, hell is the only thing waiting for a person who's lost. The only thing. Is that life-changing? That's life-changing, folks. That's life-changing to the person who knows the Lord, and it's life-changing to the person who does not. He did exceedingly fear and quake. Oh, Moses did. How much more should we? We need to get in a place where when we hear the word of God, we fear and quake. Now, I'm not talking about putting a hard hat on like you have to go on the job. I'm talking about fearing and that we stand before God and say, God, how awesome you are. How wonderful you are. You have all power in heaven and earth, and you can save me. Or you can judge me and send me to hell. That's how much power he has. He has that, folks. It's his. It doesn't belong to anybody else. If you think it will affect the saved person, how much more is it going to affect the lost person? Got any idea? Let's look at the next scripture. In the next scripture, in Hebrews 12:26, we think we've already been there. Yep. Now, look at 2 Peter 3:10. 2 Peter 3:10 says this. Hang in there. You have it on me. She's throwing it up on the board, and I'm turning. 2 Peter 3:10. You ready? Let's read it. But the day of the Lord, I believe I'm going to read on down to verse 13, Judy. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Everyone knows what a volcano is, right? We've seen those eruptions. They show them on TV now. When one happens, they show the melting lava bubbling out and rolling down the mountainside and changing all that it goes over. It changes everything. And I look at that red lava at its hottest point, and I wonder, wow, what heat that is. Well, God created that heat. It's down in the earth, and it's going to do what it's going to do. It's going to melt the earth. In fact, he talks about that. Let's see what he says. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's what happens. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, if you really believe, and if you don't believe, the Bible, I don't say it, but the Bible calls a person who don't believe a fool. You can only be a fool if you don't believe what God says is true, because it's always been true. Every promise God ever made, he kept. And he's going to keep this promise, that if you don't know him when he comes back to get his children, folks, it'll be all over. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, not just the earth now, the heavens, he's shaking it all, and be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens, a new earth. This is life-changing, folks. It's not only going to change lives, it's going to change the structure of this whole earth. When he says there will be a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, if you want to know righteousness, you can know righteousness through God's Son. And to know him, all you have to do is see yourself as a sinner, a lost person, going to hell, and say, that's because I have neglected him as my Savior. I have not called upon him and repented of him, because he is the Son of God. He was the one who came to Calvary and died for you, shed his blood for you so that your sins could be covered. And God, when he looks at you, he don't look at you for all the wrong you've done. He doesn't look at you for all the sin that's in your life. He looks at you through his Son, Jesus Christ, and he sees you as perfect. You're perfect because his Son's perfect. You're not perfect because you are. You're perfect because his Son is. How much do we owe his Son who makes us perfect in the eyes of God? Wow. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. What a place that's going to be. How would you like to live in a perfect world? I know people have said, well, if I was in a perfect world, I'd mess it up. All of us would. But we're going to a place that's going to be perfect. You see, when God created the Garden of Eden, that was a place of perfection. It was. It was heaven on earth. It wasn't supposed to go away like it did. But when man sinned, he messed the whole thing up. There will be no sin in heaven. Now, I know that people think, well, I can't go then because I've got sin in my life. If you've got sin in your life, you need to repent of it. But it's not that at all. When you go to heaven, you go as one of the sons of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and therefore there is no sin entering heaven. What he's saying is no lost person's going to heaven. No lost person will go to heaven. So don't try to figure out whether you're good enough or there's too much sin in your life to make it or not. That's not the way this works. It's not. There'll be no sin in heaven because you're going in by the way of his Son, Jesus Christ. All nations will be affected according to the Bible. All realms of life will be affected. We all have social lives, don't we? Some are little social butterflies. All of us have a social life. We're sociable beings, right? Well, did you know that social lives are going to change? That's right. Right's going to be right. It's not going to be like it is now, where right is wrong and wrong is right. We have it all mixed up, folks. When the Lord comes back, it's not going to be that way. It's going to be all changed. There will be no more politics. Praise the Lord. None whatsoever. I don't care what party you're of. There will be none. There will be no more commercialism. You won't get to the mall, go to the mall anymore. All the retailers will be gone. It's going to change everything. Not going to be any of that. Won't be any need for it. There will be no denominations. You won't be a Baptist, Pentecostal, Church of Christ, Methodist, Presbyterian, Assembly of God, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Catholics, won't be any of that. It's going to be changed. It's going to be perfect. You see, what we have now is not perfect. All the denominations are not perfect. The only thing that counts in this life is the book. The book. When people ask me what denomination we are, I just tell them we preach the book. We preach the Word of God. That's what you're going to come to. You're not going to come to a denomination. A denomination can't save you. A denomination can't even help you. We may, as a church, help some folks when we give them groceries and food and stuff like that. But that's a temporary help. I'm talking about an eternal help. We need to be eternally helped. And if you're not saved, you need eternal help. Amen? If you want to go to heaven with your family and your friends, you need eternal help. Look at Revelation 21, 1 through 3. Are you there? You're on the board, isn't it? See, I'd have to turn around and look. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to read it straight out of here because I said I was going to do it this way, and I'm going to do it this way. Are you there now? Revelation 21, 1 through 3, and here's what it says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Wouldn't you like to see it? Wouldn't you like to see it? For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Imagine that, folks. Imagine that. No more sea. God's going to change this thing to where there's no more sea. New heaven, new earth. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Think about it. I mean, somebody say amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Because this is what's going to happen. He's describing it as good as he can to make it as beautiful as it's going to be. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. A holy city. Perfect city. New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Wow. Prepared. Wow. Amen? We like prepared, don't we? This morning we were talking about unprepared people who nothing's been prepared for them. Well, here he's preparing for us a place in heaven, and now he's doing this prepared. This city is coming down as a bride adorned. Now, what is it when a woman gets adorned? Huh? I heard that. Tom said, looking good. She had all the pretty stuff on, right? From head to toe. All the beautiful earrings, the necklace, the dress. Looking good. You know why she's looking this good, don't you? It's for the husband. For the husband. We're the bride. If you're saved, you're part of the bride. Right now, looking through these glasses, y'all don't look too good. And you probably don't in your everyday life. I know I don't a lot of times. But when that happens, I'm going to be part of that bride who is adorned for her husband. I'm going to be with my husband, don't take that wrong, for eternity. Amen? Because I'm going as a part of the bride. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Why would the tabernacle of God be with men? Because you are the most loved people ever. He wants you to have everything that's coming to you. And so the tabernacle of God is going to be with us. And he will dwell with them. Oh, mercy. He's going to do what? He's going to move in with you. That's what that means. That doesn't mean he's coming by for a visit. No, it means he's moving in. Fix his room up. Let's make it real pretty. You know, when somebody's going to move in with you, you start changing things around a little bit, don't you? Yeah, we got somebody moving in. We're going to take care of it, make it real nice. Well, he says right here that he will dwell with them and they shall be his people. Are you one? If you're one of his people, raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. And God himself. Lord, I love these words. Don't you? Mercy. Every word you read has something that will just stir the emotions in you that this is God's word for your heart. And God himself shall be with them and be who? And be their God. The God of heaven. The God of heaven. He's mine. Oh, yeah. All these things are going to be shaken. But some things remain. The Lord Jesus Christ will remain. Amen. I got to show it to you because you don't. I know you don't believe me right now. You're saying, show it to me. Well, I'm glad you said that. Because he says in Hebrews, are you in Hebrews? Chapter 1, verse 11. I've got it all covered up here so I can't get there real fast. And they shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. Is that what he said? That's what he said, and that's what he meant. Amen? That's what he said. The Bible, God's word, the book, will remain the same. He's not going to change. His word's not going to change. Even though this liberal modernistic life that we have down here is trying to change the Word of God, trying to not just change it, destroy it. It's not going to happen because it's His Word. I think it's suffered long enough. I'm not telling God to come on back. I'm just saying I think it's time to come on back, take us out of this old evil hole. Don't you? Make this a new heaven, new earth, and do what He's wanting to do. There's going to be a new heaven. I don't know. I am awed at the heaven I look up at now. But there's going to be a new heaven. I haven't seen inside heaven. I look up at the heavens. The heavens are all the galaxies that are out there. And on a dark night without a lot of light, you can see a whole lot, can't you? And it will starstruck you. It'll get your attention to look out there and see what God has created. But there's going to be a new heaven. A new earth. And they'll remain forever. It'll never be, nothing will ever change again. God's going to make a change, but it's only going to be this time. Look at 2 Peter 3:13. Can you imagine what they were doing for 3 hours and reading the scriptures? Huh? 2 Peter 3:13. Are you there? I'm not. I got too many pages to turn through here. You got the same amount of pages I do? Listen. Nevertheless, that means, since that's what's been said right before that, and I'm not going to go back into it, you can if you want. Nevertheless, we, oh, why not? Look back up at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also hath, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? In all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. That'll cause you to say, wow, won't it? They used to sing a song. Pam knows it very well. I think I'll read it again. You ever read something once and you say, I want to read that again? Isn't it amazing that every time you go back and read it again, you get something new and different out of it? Don't ever stop reading the Word of God. Don't ever stop reading it. And if you haven't believed the Word of God for the salvation of your soul, do it quickly. Do it quickly. Let's bow our heads. A new heaven and a new earth. And you say, well, I don't think God would take me the way I am. I'm too mean. I've got too much of a history. No, just as you are, without one plea. Just as you are, he will take you exactly the way you are right now. And we're going to have a moment here. We're going to sing a verse of that song, Just As I Am Without One Plea. And as we sing that, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, please believe what he's saying here tonight. It's all going to come to an end, and it'll all be over then. Make the best of your life down here. He wants you to have a good life here, but he also wants you to be in eternity with him. Lord, we thank you for the scripture. We thank you for the book. We thank you for the lives of these who have believed. We thank you for the lives of those who have not believed. Lord, we want everyone to believe and go to heaven with us. We're going to praise you. Praise you for what you've already done and praise you for what you're going to do. And we're going to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You probably won't need a book for this song. Everyone knows this. You've sung it all your life. Let's sing this one verse. Would you stand, please? And while we stand, if you need to make a decision for Christ today, why don't you make that? Be a good time to do it. Wash shed for me. This is a time of decision. If you need to make a decision, make it quickly, would you? You don't have the promise of tomorrow. Amen. Aren't you glad the blood of Jesus Christ saved you, covered your sin? You know where you are? Now, if you're not saved, that same blood that covered my sins and their sins will cover your sins. You just need to repent and believe. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Don't forget to come Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. We're in a new book. We are. And if you'll come every evening, you'll get college credits for it. Let's pray. John, would you dismiss us, please? Amen.